So the scriptures I'll use today are from the New Living Translation. Amen. Asleep in the light. I've seen some people look like him. Through the years, I've definitely seen some people. I start talking and heads nod. McDonald's has a slogan, and it's called, "You deserve a break today." You deserve a break today, and it does have a certain ring to it. We kind of like that idea, don't we? A break, and there's an allure to that. It catches our attention, and with all the pressures of work, family, our schedule, sometimes we acknowledge that, yes, we do need a break today. Yes, we do need a break. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.'" Amen. And then in Psalm chapter 25, verse 13, in the King James Version, the word declares, "His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth." His soul shall dwell at ease. I like that. Then the weeping prophet had this to say in Jeremiah chapter 46, verse 27 and the first half of verse 28, he said, "But do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant. Do not be dismayed, Israel, for I will bring you home again from distant lands, and your children will return from their exile. Israel will return to a life of peace and quiet, and no one will terrorize them. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, for I am with you." If I receive those scriptures as bearing truth, then I must presume that believers are promised a time of rest. Amen? Amen. The New Testament witnesses to the fact that we've been promised that Jesus Christ will be the everlasting peace in our lives. Wow. Therefore, in times of struggle, we can go to the rock that is higher than I, and find a place of refuge. Rest and peace are marks of the Christian life. Amen? Amen? Amen. These are to be distinctive characteristics that set apart Christianity, set it apart from the rest of the world. We can have peace in the midst of a storm. Peace in the midst of a storm. So I want to just take a few minutes and give God a little glory here. Can we do that? Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. In the world, there is no rest. In the world, there is no rest. God tells us in the word about the wicked in Deuteronomy 28:65, he says, "There among those nations you will find no peace or place to rest. And the Lord will cause your heart to tremble, your eyesight to fail, and your soul to despair." No rest for the wicked. And then listen to this scripture. "The wicked are like a troubled sea which cannot rest. Their waters continually cast up mire and dirt." Wow. Praise be to God, we can find rest. We can find rest and comfort and peace in our lives because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So lift up your hearts, folks. Lift up your hearts. Hallelujah. If he comes today, praise God. Praise God for the rest we're in right now. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, besides the spiritual rest in Jesus, there's also a false rest. A false rest. This is a more worldly rest in which an individual has a carefree, uninterested, and uninvolved concern about life in general. Have you ever met those people? If you work outside the church, you meet them. These folks do not possess a confidence in Jesus, but rather they've hardened their hearts and have become callous to the things of God. Their security is not built upon the rock of Jesus Christ, but rather in a house built upon the sand. Amen. Unfortunately, they have grown lazy and apathetic to the cries of a hurting world. The world is literally crying for help. As we go to the book of Amos, I want to turn to the book of Amos. We realize that the message Amos is preaching to God's people concerns the danger of growing apathetic in their spiritual walk. Growing apathetic. And please understand that the message of Amos was directed to the people of God. It wasn't directed to the heathen nations. It was directed to the people of God. Amen? The best thing God can do to the heathen is to get the people of God right. When the people of God are right, revival comes to the church. And when revival comes to the church, then we will begin to reach the world, bringing them into salvation experience. So the best thing God can do for the lost is to revive the church. Amen. The prophet Amos was the son of a humble herdsman from Tekoa, and I'm sure he didn't have the finest of education, but through the power of God, Amos preached an awesome, inspiring message to the people, which is recorded for us in the book that bears his name. He prophesied to Israel when the nations were divided. Northern kingdom of Israel, Jeroboam reigned as king, and the southern kingdom of Judah, Uzziah reigned as king. Amos was preaching this message that was burning in his heart. We've all heard about Jeremiah had a message that was burning in his heart. So did Amos. And there's no question that Amos heard from the Lord. He had some words in him. So he announced in his book, Amos chapter 3 and verse 8, he said this, "The lion has roared, so who isn't frightened? The lion has roared, so who isn't frightened? The sovereign Lord has spoken, so who can refuse to proclaim his message?" In other translations, it says, "Who can but prophesy?" And prophesy he did. Prophesy he did. It was a masterpiece of a sermon that he was prophesying to Israel, the northern kingdom, but he didn't start his message with them. He wanted to say something to Israel, but he didn't start his message with them. In his prophecy, Amos pronounced the judgment of God upon the heathen nations all around Israel. Let's go through some of these verses. Amos chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, "This is what the Lord says. The people of Damascus have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They beat down my people in Gilead as grain is threshed with iron sledges." Now, he's talking there amongst the people from Israel, and I can just hear him. Yes, amen. Amos, preach it. Preach it. He's talking about Damascus, okay? Then Amos chapter 1, verse 6. "This is what the Lord says. The people of Gaza have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They sent whole villages into exile, selling them as slaves to Edom." Chapter 1, verse 9. "This is what the Lord says. The people of Tyre have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They broke their treaty of brotherhood with Israel, selling whole villages as slaves to Edom. Y'all getting a picture? We're going to go through some more. Chapter 1, verse 11. This is what the Lord says. The people of Edom have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They chased down their relatives, the Israelites, with swords, showing them no mercy. In their rage, they slashed them continually and were unrelenting in their anger. Chapter 1, verse 13. This is what the Lord says. The people of Ammon have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. When they attacked Gilead to extend their borders, they ripped open pregnant women with their swords. Wow. Amos chapter 2, verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Got some rain going on. This is what the Lord says. The people of Moab have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They desecrated the bones of Edom's king, burning them to ashes. Two more. Chapter 2 and verse 4. This is what the Lord says. The people of Judah have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They have rejected the instruction of the Lord, refusing to obey his decrees. Then chapter 2 and verse 6, and get this, folks. This is what the Lord says. The people of Israel have sinned and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They sell honorable people for silver and poor people for a pair of sandals. Now, wait a minute, Amos. You're talking about us. He was prophesying to Israel. You've quit preaching and gone to meddling. God's message also included the Jews. They were just as guilty as all the heathen surrounding them. So once Amos had dealt with the sins of other nations, he pointed his finger right where he wanted to see the change the most, Israel. He wanted Israel to change. God gave this prophet Amos a specific word for Israel. Amen. And he has a specific word for each one of us today, from this pulpit to the back row. Amen? Amen? God has a word for us today. And the word is in Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Out of the King James Version, it says, "Woe to them that are at ease in Zion." Zion is a word for church. "And trust in the mountain of Samaria," that's their security, "which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came." What was the first problem that these people of God faced? It was the issue of trusting in a false security. False security. During this time in biblical history, it was a season of great prosperity. Amen. Under King Jeroboam, Israel had gained control of the international trade routes. They called it the King's Highway. They had restored their borders. They became complacent because of their wealth and exalted position. They considered themselves to be the chief nation above all other nations. They were secure in that position, and they continually compared themselves to nations around them, putting them down and exalting themselves. This is what Amos was preaching to. This is the crowd Amos had gathered together. All right? Then he said to Israel in chapter 6, verse 2, he said, "But go over to Calneh and see what happened there. Then go to the great city of Hamath and down to the Philistine city of Gath. You are no better than they were, and look at how they were destroyed." Israel felt confident and secure in their religion. Their security and their religion. Their religion gave them this wonderful feeling of security. They were God's chosen. Hallelujah! I'm God's chosen. The perception was that God wouldn't be blessing them if they were doing something wrong. Would he? We are the people of God, aren't we? Amen. Surely if we attend church now and again, we'll be all right, won't we? Brothers and sisters, trusting in the outward adornments of religion is never enough. Never enough. Amen? Now, let's see what Jeremiah was saying to Judah, the southern part of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 1 through 4, it says this. The Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, go to the entrance of the Lord's temple and give this message to the people. O Judah, listen to this message from the Lord. Listen to it, all you who worship here. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Even now, if you quit your evil ways, I will let you stay in your own land. But don't be fooled by those who promise you safety simply because the Lord's temple is here. They chant, the Lord's temple is here. The Lord's temple is here. Exactly what is Jeremiah saying? Well, several things. And I'm going to give them to you out of the book of Jerry. Is that all right? Amen. Number one, trust not in those lying words, I go to church. Because Christianity is more than going to church. Amen. Christianity is relationship with Almighty God. Number two, don't trust in outward symbols of religion because they give you a false security. Number three, just coming to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car. Hallelujah. Number four, beware if you're trusting in religion and not in a relationship because God has called us to take up our cross and follow Him daily. Wow. Number five, it can become so easy to take God for granted and then put things before Him. Number six, don't mistake His patience for His approval. Number seven, some people think that just because God hasn't judged them yet, it's all right. That's because what you are experiencing is not approval, but mercy. Let me repeat that. What you're experiencing is not approval, but God's mercy. And number eight, don't become complacent in Zion, which means don't become complacent in church. Back to Jeremiah 7, verse 3. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Even now, if you quit your evil ways, I will let you stay in your own land. Hallelujah. Isn't that what we want? We want that peace. We want that peace. In their twisted thinking, the children of Israel believed that if the day of evil or doom was delayed, then maybe it wouldn't come. Maybe it wouldn't come. Consequently, they persisted in their wicked ways with the presumption that they would never be called to account. Never. So God was warning them. God was warning them. Amen? Brothers and sisters, like Israel, don't be lulled asleep. Don't go to sleep in the light. All right, let's go back to Amos. Amos chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. How terrible for you who sprawl on ivory beds and lounge on your couches, eating the meat of tender lambs from the flock and choice calves fattened in the stall. You sing trivial songs to the sound of the harp and fancy yourselves to be great musicians like David. You drink wine by the bowlful and perfume yourselves with fragrant lotions. You care nothing about the ruin of your nation, or a better translation would be, you care nothing about the ruin of your church. Now think about this. Beds that were inlaid with ivory. Luxury that abounded. They ate the best food. They sang meaningless songs. They invented ways to be entertained. They drank from bowls because it seemed they could never get enough from a cup. They splurged on the best perfume. Does this sound familiar? And then Amos brings it all home when he announces, you care nothing about the ruin of your church. Because of their ease, they had no concerns for the interests of the church. Temporary happiness and pleasures were more important to them than what was happening at church. And ease and complacency replaced the interest and concern for God's business. Wow. Y'all getting this?
Yes.
You and I have also heard the Word of God. We are aware of Jesus' commands. Do we fail to take them seriously? Have we been lulled to sleep by our earthly security? Are we guilty of falling asleep in the light? The world is lost in darkness while the church is asleep in the light. Do you know what I think is the real issue? Their hearts were out of sync with God's heart. Their hearts were out of sync with God's heart. Even though God's heart was breaking, it was breaking over Israel, it became much more satisfying for God's people to indulge in their worldly pleasures. Let me ask everyone a pointed question. You may not like me when this message is over. Here's the question. Does that which grieves the heart of Jesus grieve your heart? Does that which grieves the heart of Jesus grieve your heart? What grieves his heart? What is it? Lost souls. Lost souls. Does that grieve your heart? Is your heart in sync with God's? Let me tell you a little story. An artist seeking to depict on canvas the meaning of evangelism painted a storm at sea. Black clouds filled the sky. Illuminated by a flash of lightning, a little boat could be seen disintegrated under the pounding of the ocean. Men were struggling in the swirling waters, their anguished faces crying out for help. The only glimmer of hope appeared in the foreground of the painting, where a large rock protruded out of the water. There, clutching desperately with both hands, was one lone man. It was a moving scene, and looking at the painting, one could see the tempest, which was a symbol of mankind's hopeless condition. And true to the gospel, the only hope of the salvation was the rock of ages, the shelter in the time of storm. Can you all picture that? The artist reflected upon his work and he realized that the painting did not accurately portray his subject. So he discarded the canvas and painted another. It was very similar to the first, the black clouds, the flashing lightning, the angry waters, the little boat being crushed by the pounding waves, and the crew vainly struggling in the water. In the foreground, the man was clutching the large rock of salvation. But the artist made one change. The man was holding on with only one hand, and with the other hand, he was reaching down to pull up a drowning friend. Evangelism. This is the call to every believer. Every believer. To wake out of sleep, to shake the slumber off and reach out your hand to pull someone to safety. The world is lost in darkness. But we, the church of Christ, Jesus Christ, must not be asleep in the light. We can't afford to be. Let's be awakened. Let's be sensitive. Let's hear the cries of this lost world. Amen. Diane asked me today if we got back any petitions. No. Why? People don't care. They're asleep in the light. I think we all can hear those cries. Now this morning, I really want to pray for some of you. I'll pray for anything you need, healing, provision, protection, you name it. But I also want to pray for those who have lost some passion, who have become complacent or taken the church of God and the love of Jesus for granted. We just do that, folks. It's human nature. I'm not condemning you. I'm trying to help you. It's common knowledge that some people play church. And many of us just grope in the dark, wondering what to do. So I want us to pray before we close today. Can we do that? Yeah. If you need prayer, I just want you to come up. Joy's going to play some music, and some of you can come and pray with us. I want us to be sensitive. Word of God has such warnings about apathy. And we've all seen it. We've all probably experienced it. But if he's coming soon, we don't want that apathy. We want to be passionate for our Lord and Savior. Isn't that right? Am I preaching to the right place today? So let's see some miracles. Let's see some miracles take place when attitudes are changed. Wow. Amen. So play some music, Joy, and we're going to pray. My heart's been heavy this week with this message because I didn't want to preach. Times in my life that I have been complacent, and then I feel guilty. I seek God. And there's been times I've been complacent and didn't feel guilty. I was in that time of rest, you know. God wants something out of us. He didn't save us to leave us in a pit. He didn't save us to leave us like we were. He saved us to be His kids. And I'm proud of my father. I want everyone to know that. God is the answer. Jesus is the answer to every need we have, folks, including our apathy. Including that. So I'm going to pray. If you need something specific, please tell me, and we'll pray, okay? And we can pray for each other, too. Don't think I've got a market on it. Father, and we just lift up Pam to You right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, I ask that You just...